This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're looking back on a thrilling win in a shootout for Bates field hockey in the NESCAC quarterfinals at Wesleyan. Plus, a Bates running back made NESCAC history. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The field hockey team went to Wesleyan as the fifth seed in the NESCAC tournament on Saturday, and they beat the fourth-seeded Cardinals in a sudden-death shootout. The score stood tied at one at the end of regulation, and neither team scored in the two overtime periods. Then the Bobcats fell behind 2-1 in the shootout before tying it 2 and forcing the best of 5 to go to a sudden death. In the sudden death session, senior captain Anna Lynn Dice delivered the game-winning goal, sending the Bobcats to the NESCAC semifinals for the second straight year. Head coach Danny Kogut recaps the win and the season so far for the number 14 nationally ranked Bobcats.
Well, coach, heading into the NESCAC semifinals coming up this Saturday at Middlebury. This year's team, you know, we talked before the year a little bit about how obviously it's going to look different than last year's, and you're back sort of in the same spot, essentially. Tell me a little bit about how this team has grown from day one till now, because I know midseason you kind of made some changes and whatnot. So how have you seen the development of this team in particular?
Yeah, I think that this year we had to develop quite a bit and get to know the personnel that we had, and we spent a good chunk of preseason, the beginning part of season, really recognizing the skill that we did have on the field. And I think once they were playing in a structure that better suited their skill, we've seen them really develop and develop the skill set to play that really well in the game IQ to play that really well. So it just was a work in progress. It wasn't as easy as just plugging people into our old playing style, if you will. And that was certainly maybe we were hoping things would go this season, but we quickly learned that wasn't where things were going to go. So it's been a challenging year both for players and coaches to kind of pivot and be flexible and be adaptable. But I think in doing that, we've also gained a lot of value and a lot of just strength, mental strength to be able to adapt and go with what we see in front of us.
Yeah, especially I noticed like Anna Lynn Dice and Anna Cody moving to the outside, and Lynn Dice has set up some goals from there with some of her longer elevated passes off restarts and whatnot. What have you seen from them moving to the outside?
Yeah, I think just continuously moving them inside and out doesn't really allow our opponents to necessarily know where they're going to be on game day. And so just continuing to play with their positioning so that they can get opportunities is really key.
What was the biggest difference between the first Wesleyan game and this past Saturday?
Oh, so much. I mean, we were playing a different structure, had different people within that structure, had a very different strategy to the game, we literally changed everything. Yeah. And I think it's something that our team does really well is they can adapt and kind of change a style to play against their opponent. And it is an advantage because then there isn't necessarily the ability to scout exactly how we're going to play.
What was the blue turf they have there? What's that like? That's new this year.
Yeah, it is new. A couple programs have it. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that schools are getting AstroTurf. It's definitely making the sport more competitive, and it's a better surface, and it's a better quality of field hockey. So anytime a team can get an AstroTurf in D3, we're going to support that because it really is how the sport should move.
So the game went to a shootout, which is extremely rare, I feel like. I mean, I know Tufts has had two now this year, but for Bates, this was only the second one in your time, and you've been here since 2013. So how often does a team practice shootout situations? Do you even know who you're going to use, or did you kind of make that decision as you know at the game, or how did that kind of go?
Yeah, it wasn't something that we necessarily practiced for, which was a little terrifying when we got there. But our team, they do well with kind of that moment to adapt, moment to just sink or swim, right? They do really well in those moments. And so we just asked them who wanted to take one, who felt like they had a good 1v1, and we had our 5 volunteers, and that's who we went with. And I think a lot of it, too, is that mentality of, are you going to be willing to do it, right? Because you definitely have to have some guts to step up and do that. So it worked out in our favor. They all put out some great 1v1s. Ava had an incredible performance the whole game in OT, but her one-on-ones were really exceptional as well. She's a really smart goalkeeper, and I think it took her the first two to kind of figure out what her opponent was going to do, and then she was solid from there and really played them smartly.
Yeah, what's going through your mind? You're down 2-1, and she has to stop it. You have to make one more. What's going through your mind, like, the back half of that initial shootout there?
Yeah, stress. Lots and lots of stress. You know, I think the third one was a key moment because we either knew that Ava was going to be able to learn to play them well, or, right, very naturally, she could have gotten a little caught off guard by the first two going in. And then as soon as she made that stop in the third one, we kind of knew that she had it and she was in that right mentality for 1v1s. And she's an incredibly agile goalkeeper. So once we saw that, we were really confident with her end of it. And then obviously the pressure to score. But we had some pretty savvy ball handlers up there taking 1v1s. So we knew they would put something creative out there.
And Annalyn Dice got the game winner and also won earlier in the shootout. The game winner, you only had 8 seconds to get the shot off. If she got that off with less than a second left, take us through that play by her because it was really good.
Yeah, so I think when it hits the back end of the net, there's 0.2 seconds left. So probably cross the line around 0.4. So right as basically as close to the last possible second as you can get, right? But I think her first one, right, was the same thing where she took the initial shot, goalie made the save, and she was able to play the rebound. So I think that mindset going into the first one was super important, and to have success doing that was really important because it gave her the ability to learn and say, okay, there's plenty of time to get a second, maybe third shot off. And she told us that she actually looked up at the clock on the first rebound and realized she had 2 seconds and went, okay, I think I have time for another one. So the fact that she even looked at the clock is kind of made us chuckle because I don't know how many players would have done that. But yeah, she just stuck with it.
Yeah, is the time for zero, like, is it when you make contact or when it crosses the line? How does that work?
When it crosses the line.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you make contact before the clock runs out, if it doesn't cross the line in time, it's...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no goal. Yeah.
Interesting. And then, I mean, you know, going to Middlebury, you've played them once already. It was a good game right here at Campus Avenue Field. What are your thoughts on them? Because obviously they did lose one game this year, but they're the 6-time defending champs at the same time.
They sure are, yeah. I think a motto that we've had or we've said a number of times this season is one from USA Fiocchi, and Ian always uses it because he still competes with their master's program. But it's respect all, fear none, right? We respect them. They're a great program. They do some things really well, but we certainly don't fear them. And we know that we're a really quality side as well. And we can do some interesting stuff with our style of play that I think could catch them off guard, maybe give us a little edge. And that's our plan, right?
Excellent. And then I guess just real quick, back to the shootout, I wanted to ask one more question. It's a 1v1. Who do you think has more pressure on them, the goalie or the person attacking?
God, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Probably the goalie,
yeah.
Right? Person attacking, you either get the joy of scoring and all the celebration, or it's like, oh man, that was a good save. But with goalkeeping, it's kind of... you know, the only good to happen is to make the save.
Excellent. And what, is there any other thoughts you wanted to share on, you know, the season so far, the Wesleyan game we haven't got to talk about?
No, just super proud of the team. I mean, to get tested and to be pushed into a shootout in a really high stakes game like that just speaks to their resilience and their ability to play through and just stick to a plan and stay focused. They're really an amazing team and they've worked really hard and we're excited to see what's still in store for us. We're hoping there's lots of hockey still left, right? And we certainly are just working each day to make sure that that's the case.
All right, Coach, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
The two stars of the shootout were first-year goalkeeper Ava Donahue and senior captain and female Bobcat of the Week, Anna Lindice. Lindice converted 2 of the 3 goals Bates tallied in the shootout and Donahue stopped the final 5 Wesleyan attempts. They joined the Bobcats to talk about the rather unprecedented event and a big win for the Bobcats. Well, I've been at Bates since my 10th year. I'd never seen a shootout in field hockey. Anna, in your career, have you ever, going back to high school, going back to club, whatever, have you ever had been in a shootout before?
No, I've never been in a shootout, especially in double overtime, like sudden death. It's never something me or coach has experienced yet.
So Danny mentioned that there's kind of asked around who wants to take the shots, and you stepped up as one of the players. How did that kind of go, selecting who was going to do it?
It was, I'm honestly not the best at shootouts, but I was confident that, like, I know what I was going to do, and I could work around how the goalkeeper reacted, so I felt pretty good about it.
Great, and take us through your successful shot the first time around in the first five, right? You were the one to get the baits on the board there, right?
Yeah, I just pulled right around the keeper. I do almost the same thing every time, and I saw that she dove, so I did an extra right pull, and then I was able to get it in.
And Ava, we'll go from your perspective also as the goalie. You told me off air this was your first ever shootout also in a game?
Yes, I've only ever done it in practice before.
So what was going through your mind as you prepared to try to stop these Wesleyan players?
Well, as soon as we got out of our double overtime and they announced we were going to be doing shootouts, I was shaking in my boots. I was very nervous because I hadn't done one before, and I didn't really feel that confident in my shootout ability during practice, but I had some words of wisdom from my other players, my teammates, my coaches, and then I gained the confidence and just told myself, be speedy, be you, be the big goalie that you are, and I tried to build myself up.
Well, I know Wesleyan scored a couple early goals, and then you were able to shut them down the rest of the way. So what adjustments did you make after the first two?
I think that I was way too in my head when I started. I was too nervous, and I just wanted to intimidate them, but after the first one, I think I started thinking, why don't I just work on myself? Don't even worry about what they're doing. Worry about me. And then I fixed my placement and just the mindset I had in general.
Yeah, the team's down 2-1 early, Anna. I mean, what's going on? What's going through your mind? Because at this point, it's almost like do or die each time, right?
Yeah, we've been in the losing position with Wesleyan before, so we just wanted to just put everything out there and leave the field knowing that win or lose, we put our 100% in.
Take us through your game-winning shot, because you made that with like less than a second, maybe less than a half second remaining on the clock. Danny mentioned that the ball has to cross the goal line before it hits zero. It's not just when you make contact. So what'd you see there?
Right. So the goalie stopped my initial move and shot. And then I actually managed to look up at the clock and I saw I still had a few seconds left. So I just did a big pull left and took it on my reverse and prayed, and it went in before the buzzer.
When you made contact, you realized right away, oh, you got it?
Yeah. The second I got it on my backhand, I knew I was going to score.
And what was it like celebrating? It was such a great celebration there, right?
Oh, it was awesome. There's nothing better than just running over to your teammates and giving them all big hugs.
Ava, what was your view of her game-winning goal?
I honestly did not know if it had gone in. I was completely out of the space, and I also didn't really know the rules, so I was wondering if we were going to keep going. So I waited for a second, but then once everyone started cheering, I was like, I got to get in there. And I think that was a moment I'm going to remember forever. That was so fun.
Of your saves in the shootout, what's the most memorable for you?
I was really happy with the one where I had dove. I missed it a little bit, but I threw the opponent off a little bit. She had to pull back, and then I had gotten back up on my feet and just ran over, dove again, and chopped it out of the way.
Well, yeah, did she miss hit a little bit on the follow? I couldn't tell.
I think she did.
Yeah.
I think so. I was looking back on the videos, and that's what I think I saw. But it's hard to really be in the headspace afterwards. I black out a little bit when I go through these.
Yeah, Anna, what did you see? I mean, you had a good view of that, I'm sure.
Ava did a good job of like spreading out all the way, and then there was a bit of a miss hit, but then at that point you were already like had contact with the ball, and the second you did your second dive to get it out, I was screaming. I was so excited for you. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned diving, like really knowing the rules. What was your knowledge of what had to be done here, kind of?
I knew all the rules. It just was, there was so much pressure at that point that I just couldn't worry about any of that and just tried to focus on getting the ball in within that 8 seconds.
And then Brooke had a big key goal in the initial five, too. What did you see from her? Because that allowed it to go to sudden death.
Right. Brooke is fantastic at shootouts. In practice, she kills it all the time. So I was very, very confident in her abilities to get in the first time. And it was great. She had plenty of room spare.
How much practice do you actually do with shootouts? Because they're so rare.
Not much
at all. Especially this season, we've been focusing with the new formation switches. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot bigger things to focus on, so shootouts has just been a very minute detail.
Yeah, and then Wesleyan has this blue turf that's new this year and everything. How did that play?
It's a new turf, but it was quite sticky. Mm. But I think, turf aside, we still managed to move the ball well and have good attacks.
So maybe not as fast as you normally play on?
Or? Yeah, our turf at Bates is unmatched. It's the best turf in
the NESCAC. I mean, does it matter too much from our goalie's perspective what kind of turf it is?
Or? Absolutely.
Yeah, how
field
so?
Field turf makes it a lot harder for me to slide or go across the goal quickly, which has been a problem in some of our games. Like Con, I had some issues trying to get to the other side of the goal. But luckily that didn't cause too much of a problem with that game. For other schools with field turf, it makes it super hard for me, which is why I love Astro so much. Luckily, the blue turf wasn't too bad to slide on, but it does make quite a bit of a difference for me.
Is that jarring color? Does that even matter? I mean, I feel like I'd be distracted.
I mean, I played on it on a blue turf in club and sometimes during the summer, so I was used to it, but yeah. I'm not sure for the rest of the team.
Yeah, we've talked about the kind of change in formation and stuff before, how you and Anna Cody move kind of from inner to outside, but maybe sometimes you switch it up still. But tell us about that change for you.
It was definitely a big change for me and Anna Cody, but now she's back as forward, so she's found her way back home. I went from a position where I was at the top of the circle shooting and scoring a lot to now I'm more the mediator between the defenders and the offense, so I'm taking the ball from our 25, bringing it all the way up to our attacking 25 and giving it to the forwards. So it's definitely been a learning curve, but I've embraced all parts of it, and I really love it.
Excellent. Ava, obviously your first year, so tell us a little bit about your first year of college field hockey. What's it been like so far from your perspective?
I think it's been so great playing with my team. They are so amazing, and they're all so talented. Danny's such a great coach, and it's so awesome being taught by someone who's so skilled, especially since she was a goalie as well. I get so much knowledge from her, and I've learned so much that I wasn't able to learn beforehand, and I've had such a great experience so far.
What led you to Bates out of high school?
I was looking for NESCACs because my sister, she plays lacrosse at Williams.
Okay.
And my entire family has gone to NESCAC school, so I was looking for that smaller college vibe, and I came across Bates, and I fell in love with it as soon as I came here. It was amazing.
Excellent. Anna, as a senior captain, what's it like to see, you know, a first year have such a lot of success right away like this, especially in goal?
It's just so rewarding seeing how you work in practice and how that, like, is viewed on the field. I was very confident in your abilities, but obviously your first year, I wasn't sure how you would take the pressure, but you couldn't have handled it better.
Well, so I like to hear that, Ava.
It makes me feel really good. I love Anna so much.
Excellent. Then, obviously, NESCAC semifinals. Second straight year, they're going to be at Middlebury. Last year, you played Williams. This year, you're obviously playing Middlebury. But, Anna, what are your thoughts on returning to Middlebury and then trying to, you know, take down the six-time defending champs, right?
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. We always have a good game against Mid because we go into it with just the mentality that's just like, let's cause a huge upset. Like, they're beatable. Every team is beatable. And the progression we've made over the season, I think, has been more than they've made and multiple. So I couldn't be more excited.
And Ava, you finally get to play against them, right? What are your thoughts?
Watching the game was so great. It's so nice seeing how hard we push and how hard we fight against teams that are higher ranked than us. We always give up a huge fight. We work so hard. And watching them play Middlebury was so amazing. And you could tell that everyone wanted it so bad, and we're just here to bring it back. We're going to beat them this time, so it's going to be fun.
Sounds good. NESCAC semifinals are this Saturday at 11 a.m., and hopefully we'll have a championship game there noon on Sunday. Anna Lindice and Ava Donahue, before we go, any other thoughts you want to share on the Wesleyan win?
I think it just, there's so many people that should be highlighted for that. Mm-hmm. Like, goal aside, Haley Dwight made a crazy defensive save.
That's right.
Amanda Zerbib did a fantastic in the defense, and Maria and Anna Cody also were great on the forward line, so it was a huge team win.
Absolutely, and it really reflected how we play as a team. We communicated so well during that game. The defense with me was so amazing, and everyone was bringing each other up, and you can just tell how much we love each other and how hard we work together through that game, even if it was a win or a loss.
I actually just want to bring up the Haley Dwight save because you had a good view of it because I feel like you were looking directly at her when she did it. So what did you see? Was it like slow motion?
It was definitely like slow motion. I saw the girl had beat Haley slightly. She was going to my right, closer to the center of the circle. And I thought, why not just throw a slide at her because that would be probably the best block that I could give at that moment and the fastest one. So I had done a single leg tackle. Unfortunately, she had hit it right through my legs, which did leave a mark. But luckily, Haley was there. I turn around and I see her. She missed it like a little bit. And then she dove. And I have never felt so happy and blessed in that moment. I ran over to her and I was screaming. I'm like, Haley, you are the best player I've ever seen in my life. And I was so thankful. I felt like I had made that save. It was so rewarding seeing her be so amazing. Like, she's so good. And I love seeing her play. We work so well together. I love my defense.
Awesome. Ava Donahue and Annalyn Dice, the Bobcats in action this Saturday at Middlebury in the NESCAC semifinals. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The football team fell 35-24 on Saturday under the lights to rival Bowdoin at Garcelon Field. Despite the loss, Bates fans witnessed history as sophomore running back Ryan Linsky ran for a NESCAC record 344 yards. Head coach Matt Coyne recaps the game.
Well, coach, that was kind of an odd football game. I don't know if I've really ever seen much like that. I mean, first of all, Ryan Linsky, what else can you say about what he was able to do? Just some long, long runs. What was opening up for you guys in that run game?
Yeah, I think the O-line did a great job. I mean, with Bowdoin's defense, it's feast or famine at times. They do a really good job defensively of plugging gaps and slanting and driving. And we knew we'd have some opportunities to where those holes would open up. And they're playing sort of man-to-man on our receivers on the back end, so they overran it a little bit. And you know, Ryan did a great job of making a guy miss. And then he has the explosive capabilities to take it from anywhere in the field, as we saw throughout the whole game.
You talk about, you know, doing your 111. I feel like Ryan did about 10 out of 11 for the team. It seemed like he was the offense. What needs to, like, adjust to Hamilton, you know, coming up in terms of making the rest of the offense click just like Ryan was?
Well, I mean, I don't think you have to do anything. Yeah. I mean, when you're sitting there, it's really more the offensive line and the quarterback's making the right read, the receiver's blocking for him. I mean, he only had 20 carries. So if we're going to go 20 carries for 344 and pop those big plays, it's going to make it so that you know, not many other people are going to get involved, you know, when those big plays open up. I mean, you know, we still, you know, were able to manufacture some other things. We just didn't connect on some of our man-to-man beaters receiving-wise. But, I mean, you know, when you're averaging 18 yards a carry, I mean, it means the O-line's doing a great job, and let's keep feeding it.
Yeah, certainly. And then, I mean, defensively, you're facing a first-year quarterback, so, and he barely played this year, right? So, obviously a challenging situation in terms of not a lot of film on him, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, the defense, you know, they're not happy with how they played, obviously. I think, you know, every single touchdown that we gave up was a blown coverage. And for me, that's, you know, one of those things where, you know, maturity-wise, we got to be able to do our jobs and not try to do somebody else's job. And when you're covering that man, you're covering that man, no matter if they're, you know, faking a swing pass to the running back. Like, that's a linebacker's job to cover that running back. Your job is to cover the man in the slot. That's one example. But, you know, it really was just disappointing at times because we felt like we just handed them five touchdowns, you know, without making them earn it. Whereas, you know, if we're playing man-to-man and all of a sudden, you know, kid goes up and you know, and makes a catch on you or beats you in a one-on-one chest-to-chest battle, like, you can tip your hat and be okay with that. You know, as coaches, we say that all the time, but make them earn it, make them beat you. Don't just give it to them. And we just felt like we just weren't locked in and we didn't really play, you know, our style of football on the defensive side.
Anything to do with night games? I mean, it seems like you guys have been way better during the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those where, you know, it's you know, we've got to continue to mature as a program. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things. And, you know, the simplest of things and, you know, prepare them better. You know, I always, you know, no matter what, when we lose, I'll take the blame. When we win, the players get the applause. But we all look internally and look at what we have to do. We didn't do anything different this week in practice. We didn't do anything to make the moment bigger than it is. I think it's just more of maturing and being in those environments. And, you know, while we still are a bit youthful, we're starting to get some game experience where we need to start to stack these on top of each other and make the right adjustments going forward.
You're at Hamilton this Saturday. What's kind of the main point of emphasis this week in practice preparing for the Continentals?
It's more us. You know, I think, you know, for them, we understand the situation. You know, they haven't won a game yet. You know, we were in that situation last year. We know it's senior day for them. They're going to be fighting for it. But at the end of the day, like, when you start worrying about that stuff is when you start to not worry about yourself getting better and correcting the mistakes that we made. So for us, I mean, the biggest thing is just really we got a week left with this team as a whole. You know, we'll never be with this team again after this week. And it's like, how do we get better? How do we get better and correct some of the things, get back to the Bates brand of football, and really focus on ourselves and just, you know, practicing hard, cleaning up some of those mistakes, and putting a better brand of football out there this Saturday.
And going back to Linsky, just because he did win all the awards this week for what he was able to do. I mean, you've obviously seen this from him in practice before. I mean, he's been, you know, a workhorse for you guys this year, but we really saw the explosive ability this week, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think if you ask Ryan, he's not even close. I mean, this kid, you know, is incredibly, you know, his recovery is incredible. And I mean, that's the thing of his durability, and for him to be, you know, a little over 9 months out of ACL surgery. That's crazy. You know, and he hasn't had an off season. He's worked his butt off to rehab and put himself in the proper position to be here. But now think about this kid with a full off season. And, you know, he'll tell you he's probably at 80 to 90% of what he truly is. You know, and that's, you know, a lot of kids aren't even back playing yet from that type of, you know, surgery and recovery, let alone taking close to 200 carries and being durable throughout a whole season. But I think, you know, he'll tell you, you know, the thing about Ryan that's great is, you know, he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, I should have protected better on two of the pass plays. I should have, you know, there's things that everybody made mistakes on, and he understands how every play is so important. So he's really not a me guy. And that's one of the things about this team. Like, there's no selfishness. It's selflessness. And 1 week it could be Ryan. 1 week it could be this guy. 1 week it's that guy, you know. But we'll definitely take him doing that over and over again if we can get it. But, you know, testament to the O-line, testament to our tight ends, testament to our wide receivers, testament to the whole group for that. But we just didn't put enough of it together. And then we had, you know, a play called back and we didn't score. It's just – there's just tiny plays in this game that sort of change momentum, and momentum's a powerful thing. And when it goes against you, it's really hard to come back from it.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Linsky's performance on Saturday earned him the Gold Helmet Award for the New England Football Writers for the best performance by an NCAA Division II or III athlete this past week. He was also named the NESCAC Offensive Player of the Week for the second time this season, and he was named to the D3Football.com Team of the Week. So it only makes sense that he's our male Bobcat of the Week. How mixed feelings were you feeling after the game? Because you had such an amazing performance. I know you're all about the team.
Yeah, it was definitely weird throughout the game. I thought that we definitely had opportunities to close the gap, and then after the game, sadly, we were not able to get it done. And it was definitely very sad. Obviously, I was happy that I broke the record, but losing to that team, especially on senior night, it definitely took over, which was obviously the main goal for us to just get the win.
And for you, I mean, you had three long touchdown runs, the first one to the near side, the second one up the middle, third one to the far side. Take us through kind of each runs and what opened up for you.
Well, we knew that their linebackers flowed very fast, and thankfully our offensive line did a great job getting up to them and really taking them out of the play. So thankfully holes were able to open up that were either no one there or only one person, and thankfully I was able to make them miss a couple times and just go the distance.
I mean, the 95-yard run, my goodness, it was near the end of the game, but I mean, it looked like the Bowden player had the angle on you, and it didn't matter. I mean, take us through that play in particular.
Yeah, when that broke free from the 5-yard line, I knew that it was going to be a long way to the end zone because it was late in the game. But yeah, I saw it on film. It definitely looked like he had the angle, but thankfully I just had enough in the tank to get it done right in the end.
Had you ever had a game like this in, like, high school or anything?
Well, I definitely had high yardage games in high school and middle school, but I think from an actual yardage standpoint, this was definitely the highest of my career, which is definitely nice at the college level compared to others.
Yeah, certainly. And we talked about the offensive line before and the run blocking and everything. I mean, this was you know, interior run blocking to, you know, open up space for you. I mean, tell us a little bit more about what they're able to do there.
Yeah, so there a lot of times they're trying to just move everyone on the line to a certain direction to kind of give me cutbacks, allow me to see the gaps. And this team especially, all the ends were crashing down. Mm-hmm. So they were able to make the whole line flow, and then pretty much I can cut right off them, and then they got up to the backers. And it was really just one-on-one situation. So the offensive line have just been playing so well for me throughout the year, and they really came up big on all those plays.
Now, in terms of, you know, finishing the year strong with the game at Hamilton this Saturday, right, what's going to be the key for the team, take this individual accomplishment and turn it into a victory for everyone, right?
Yeah, I think that we just all need to go out there and execute and get back to, like, playing Bates football. We felt like last week we came out a little flat, and Bowden came out with a little bit more physicality and energy than us, and that's just not who we are. We're always the aggressor and making sure that we're the hammer, not the nail. So I think coming out, executing, and just setting the tone is going to be a big emphasis for us this week.
Okay, and then, I mean, just in terms of your season so far, you're over 1,000 yards rushing, which I'm sure might have been was that a goal for you coming in your mind once you heard you'd be running the ball a lot?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know if I was going to get that necessarily this year coming back off an injury, but throughout the year with how it was going, it was definitely a goal, so very happy to have got that.
Coach Coyne has mentioned before that he's amazed how fast you were able to come back from the injury you suffered last year. Take us through that process, how you were able to get healthy for this season.
Yeah, I was very lucky that I was able to get surgery essentially the week after I tore my ACL, or 2 weeks after. So I was able to get right into the recovery process. And here at Bates, they do a great job helping you with rehab. And then when I went home, I have great PT people to help me out. And they set up a great plan for me. And then it was just all about going to work on it and understanding that there's going to be setbacks mentally and physically, but just to know that you can get back and that an ACL doesn't mean you're not going to be who you were before.
And then, I mean, just I've noticed when you post things on social media, your family's active on Facebook. They love commenting on all the posts about you. What's it like to have that kind of support?
Yeah, my mom's comments on a lot of the posts. She's the best. She's definitely my biggest supporter. She's my hero. She was with me the whole process, and I went home for a little bit for surgery. Mm. And she just was consistent support, expressing just if I work hard, I'll be able to get back. And having that support system was a big role throughout that process.
Excellent. Tell us a little about the running backs kind of room in general with this team, because obviously, you know, Sergio's kind of do everything, but you have, you know, Jack, you know, Morrill and some other guys as well who get some carries. So tell us about this group.
I mean, they're my brothers. They're definitely a great group of guys. We had Steinberg was a slot at the start of the year and then moved back to running back. And it's great to have them back. They're older. They're like big brothers to me, and they really help me see the holes. And they contribute themselves on the field. And it's just a great room. Everyone's supportive of each other, and I couldn't ask for a better group of guys.
What would you say is the next step for you kind of in your development? Because, I mean, you have a game where you rush for 344 yards, and you're like, oh, okay, I did that. What else do you need to do kind of?
I think just consistency, you know, being able to help the team every week and do my 111th, just not only rushing the ball, but in pass pro, continue to improve, and just other aspects of the game that can help my teammates as well. And then just work in the offseason to come back even better.
Yeah, pass protection, obviously, you know, important part of being a running back, sometimes gets overlooked. How do you kind of develop that? You know, who do you work with on the coaching staff with that? How do you kind of, you know, go through that process?
Coach Thompson and Coach Watrous. Yeah. Coach Watrous, the offensive line coach, does a really good job helping us see the blitzes and show who's going to be coming at us depending on the matchup each week, and just continuing to develop my cut block and being able to fit people up when needed and just see everything and meet them early rather than letting them get close to the quarterback.
Now, you've mostly been the guy obviously taking the ball up the middle on the option, but sometimes you do the speed option look where you're the guy getting the pitch. I think you a couple times against Bowdoin. Yeah. So how's that been going, sort of?
That's good. It's nice to get the ball on the edge, space out the defense. You know, I think the A-gaps really, like, pull everyone in. And then with the combo with the speed option and the triple option, it widens it out. And I think the contrast just works really well.
I think we've talked before about this, or maybe I talked with Sergio. I'm not sure. Who's the fastest player on this team right now? Is it you? Is it Sergio? Is it Seneca? It's got to be one of those three, right?
We argue about this all the time, who'd win in races on the team. I mean, I want to say myself, but I'm going to say Seneca. I think Seneca's the fastest on the team in a straight line race.
Yeah, he had a nice run to set up your touchdown, right?
I mean, with the ball in his hands, he's lethal throwing it and running it, and he's got some wheels on him for sure. So right up the middle he had, and it was a great run.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, we still have the Hamilton game, and then Colton's going to obviously graduate, but Seneca next year is going to be a junior. It's going to be, unless someone comes in as a first year or something, or maybe one of the backups challenges him, it might be his team as a quarterback. So what do you think it'll be like to have him, you know, maybe full-time back there?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think that he's really got a chance to, because he didn't start right away, kind of see what it's like as to be a college quarterback, because that's definitely the hardest position to change from high school to college, in my opinion. And I think that he's going to be a really good player for us. You know, he's going to continue to grow and develop himself. And as he's shown this year, he's a really good football player. So I think he's going to continue to develop and can be a big help for us.
Yeah, ton of speed in that Bates backfield. Certainly Sergio coming back next year as well. So that should be a lot of fun. Any other thoughts you wanted to mention about the Bowdoin game? Because, again, I felt so weird after. I'm like, man, Ryan Linsky just made history, but Bates lost to a rival. Like, it's such a weird feeling. But any thoughts you wanted to share?
Just a big thank you to my offensive line and all the receivers who were blocking for me. I got a lot of credit from this week from other organizations and writers. I just want to say that a big thanks to the people blocking for me, because none of it would be possible without them.
Absolutely. Ryan Linsky, our male Bobcat of the week. And as you mentioned, he got the Gold Helmet Award for the New England Football Writers. He got NESCAC Offensive Player of the Week and D3Football.com Team of the Week at running back. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
The soccer and volleyball teams wrapped up their seasons last week. Women's soccer finished 5-9-1, an improvement of 2 wins over last season. Men's soccer went 6-7-2, an improvement of 3 wins over last season. And the volleyball team wrapped up the year at 10-12, a 3-win improvement from a year ago. Meanwhile, the cross-country teams compete at the NESCAC Championships on Saturday, with the men placing 7th and the women finishing 8th. Both teams now gear up for the NCAA East Regionals, taking place on November 16th. Stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all your latest Bates Athletics news, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.
We'll be right back.